This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, it is Thursday, the 7th of October, 2021. You're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the Clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning. Welcome to the show. This morning, I want to talk about the opening of Parliament, speech from the throne. I also wanted to read a couple of the texts that I was unable to read from the last show. In particular, I just wanted my texters to know that I had not forgotten them and that a number of texts came in, a large number, at the very end of the show with 1 minute left, and I was just unable to read them in time. And I apologize for that. Wow, what a week. What a week. I say, first of all, this is the first day I had off since February. I almost forget what it feels like to come to work. But I'm an anti-capitalist, so I love that feeling. But it's great to be here. I just want to touch on a couple of things before we get into the show. And I guess the first is this. Is there a radio shortage in the Royal Bahamas Police Force? Is there a radio shortage or is there a battery shortage? Right? Whatever it is, I think it's paramount that we ensure that our officers have the tools necessary to do their jobs properly, right? Before I could critique a police officer for being on their phone, like every time I see them in the same post, they're always on their phone. Before I could critique you for that, I have to, as a citizen, ensure that you are being treated appropriately as a member of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and you are not being frustrated in your duties by being constantly sent out on the job without the tools necessary to do the job properly. Now, see why that sticks out for me is one time long ago when I was young and didn't like to comb my hair, I got stopped by a police officer that took my license plate and pulled his personal cell phone out of his pocket and made a call. And so he's on this call with my license in his hand, on his personal cell phone. And now he's walked a massive distance away from the car, like 100 yards, like long. He walked around a corner, out of earshot, out of view. He didn't have a radio. He didn't have a ticket book. He didn't have any of the tools. He didn't even have his ID number on his uniform. But he had my license and his cell phone. And he walked around the corner. So things like that stick out to me. But I ain't gonna be around here fussing no police if at the end of the day, really, they have to use their cell phones because nobody sees fit to ensure that they have the radios necessary to do the job. On another note, I see there's another roadblock. I would like, if possible, a lawyer to send me a link to the correct provisions in law or a link to an explanation as to what the law is surrounding roadblocks. and random roadblocks on top of it. See, I'm not really that upset about the roadblock, you know. Roadblock. What I'm concerned about is what those officers could be doing. What they could be doing if they wasn't running these random, not so random roadblocks. I just wonder. You know? They could be on Bay Street, ensuring that people stop parking on sidewalks where pedestrians are forced to walk. See, pedestrians are forced to walk on the sidewalk because anything else is breaching the traffic control. Pedestrians are not supposed to walk in the road, especially if there is sidewalk available. I don't understand why people with cars feel that the sidewalk was put there for their car in the face of pedestrians. There's also Cumberland Street that needs dire attention. They just say Cumberland Street just needs some police officers to look over it every day and make it feel special. You know where else we could have used your attention this morning? To the taxi that decided to give a tour of Government House. When I say a tour of Government House, what I mean is you pull up in front of the 4 or 5 foot wrought iron gate and allow the passengers in your taxi to look through the gate at the grounds. And in the midst of that, because I think this is the real exciting part of the tour, in the midst of that, you obstruct traffic at peak hours, at peak traffic hours. You don't use your hazard lights. You don't have a sign in your window that says, I'm on tour, tour in progress. Nothing like that. It's just pure spontaneous excitement. Do you know what's happening in front of you? Or maybe not. Maybe some of y'all be on your phone. You're just like, oh, wait, I've been here for 3 minutes reading my phone. Maybe there is an obstruction. Anyway, that's what they could be doing. Right? That's what they could be doing. As opposed to conducting these not so random roadblocks in the midst of traffic. Ah, boy. Arlington is my guest on the Zoom room. Good morning to my guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Thompson. How are you? Mr. Thompson, you there?
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Good you could join us. The opening of Parliament and the speech from the throne is yesterday. Were you able to peek in on it?
Not in its entirety, but I caught some of the nice styles, the fashions that were going on yesterday by some Facebook sharings.
Yeah, that was spectacular. And so I guess it's a good point to say here. Like, I want to talk about that, you know. I want to talk about the opening of Parliament. But I want my audience to understand, right, that I appreciate the effort, the energy put into the campaign for the PLP by its supporters and its members. I appreciate the commitment and the loyalty to a party, to an entity that these people have manifested and displayed. And I want them to understand that when I critique your party, when I critique this new administration, I am not diminishing the respect you have for your party. I'm not diminishing the energy, the effort that you put into supporting your party, bringing it to success, bringing it to victory, bringing it to the House of Assembly. But at the same time, it is important to critique not just governments, but political parties as well. To critique the actions of governments and the actions of government actors. These things are extremely important. Because let me tell you why, and we just jump in right here at the beginning. As I ran shows, had discussions approaching the election, I reiterated and highlighted this particular question for all of the candidates, for the party leaders, and in particular for the Honorable Brave Davis once he became the leader of the country. And the question is, how will you cause or compel Bahamians and ordinary people to discipline themselves? and to compel others around them to moderate their behavior also. And I asked that question well before the election played out. And I asked the question the day after Brave Davis won the election. And from day number one, people keep telling me, oh, it's too much critique, it's too fast, it's too soon, you gotta give them a bye, you gotta give them a break, a bye, whatever. But I argue to you that there's no time for resting. I still haven't confirmed, I think I swore I heard it, that the House has gone into adjournment for like a whole month. When they rest, we don't have time to rest. And let me tell you why I'm sticking on this point this morning. Because if party candidates, if parties and party leaders, if the Honorable Brave Davis himself had focused on that question, how will he and his actors cause or compel Bahamians to discipline themselves, then I'm certain we would not have seen yesterday what I am just going to label a super spreader event. I'm being told that there were approximately 1,400 people in the main room, approximately 300 people in auxiliary rooms. And that doesn't count the staff, the police officers. It doesn't count all the other people that were associated with the event. And I asked the question, was that necessary? And what are the implications if, God forbid, unfortunately, somebody did bring the virus into that space? Or it was already there. Or it came in like a mosquito. You know how mosquitoes be. What are the implications and consequences? And why do we think that politics, because that's what that was yesterday, that was politics. Why do we think that politics is so important that it should supersede everything, including the rules that have been put in place to save our lives and to protect the most vulnerable around us, among us? Anyway, Darwin, I know you can't see it, but I got two callers on the line. I can pause. We can take these callers, hey? Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. Good morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Oh, I'm doing well. Boy, I'll be here, but women can dress. Y'all can dress, Aaron Green. Y'all can dress out to Americans and the region. I'd like to see a competition. I be you and I'll be human woman always been.
But there were
fashion show.
Stunning.
Stunning. I commend my human woman. Y'all women can put it together. Y'all can spend the money.
Boy.
Go ahead.
No, you go on. You go on.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the presentation. I enjoy the speech from the throne.
Mm-hmm.
If my prime minister and this constitutional, he's my prime minister, constitutional, and the party, my party prime minister too.
Yeah.
But if my prime minister can accomplish most of this in 5 years, the most important ones I want him to accomplish,
yeah, is
local government for New Providence.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the pension, disabled pensioners, and the pensioners alike. So I call it disability pensioners and old folks pensioners. But what I'd like to see here, a special committee,
uh-huh,
to conduct whether how much can be feasible for old age pension and a disability check.
I got you.
Because in some states, where it could be $900 feasible or $5 feasible, but you have to do a feasible study.
Yeah, feasibility study.
You got to be, these old folks got to buy medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Either the government subsidize, in Canada, the government subsidize these things. Like, for instance, I need automatic wheelchair and cheap. In
right.
Canada, they subsidize that.
But I don't think we need an automatic wage here. I think what we need to do is we need
I agree. For my independence, don't do it. Don't say that.
What we need to do is we need to right-size the cost of living. We need actual regulations in place. I don't think
That's what I'm saying, Aaron Green.
Yeah, yeah.
So the government is okay. I'll subsidize, knowing that Funkin can't afford or so and so can't afford automatic special decline of wheelchair for my independence.
Yeah.
Government would subsidize it. Happened in other countries. So we gotta look at this piece for study. And I would love to see, and I hear Obi talking about it, putting the social service back on the card. Like how
the RISE card.
Right, and how the great Mandy Griffin had it. You need to bring it on your show.
I
hear the minister Obi was gonna keep saying Obi is my friend. But I gotta realize he's a minister now. You gotta get used to call him minister again. The mayor, the minister is talking about it, my good friend Obi, talking about it, and that would be excellent. But I think this prime minister is up for being the second greatest prime minister next to my greatest prime minister. So then, what do you think?
Well, guy, you need some time. I need some time. I'm not going to say no. Exactly. I'm not going to say no right out front. I can give him some time. But listen, I got to go. I got a couple more callers on the point. And then you said something I want to respond to. Ah, boy. Caller, you on the clock.
Hey, morning, Aaron. What's up?
Good morning. How you doing?
I am great, man. Listen, you know, yesterday was a day that, you know, I think personally, Aaron,
uh-huh.
we have to practice a way that we're going to deal with our lives
mm-hmm.
when it comes to having certain things. If anyone wants to be honest, yesterday, even with me and my fiance, I thought we was going to sit close to each other, but the chairs was more than basically 6 feet apart, right? That's one thing. But I want Bahamian people to understand. And in particular, Aaron,
uh-huh.
Mr. Davis is the prime minister. We have to respect that. The Bahamian people, whether there was a lower vote count turnout, the people voted for the Progressive Liberal Party. All right? They voted for Mr. Davis to be out of all of that tabloids and posting things and war room things against him. He still rise to the occasion to become the prime minister. So I think it's only fair, right? At least give the man a chance, because let's be realistic, Miss Green. Before, when the PLP was the opposition, and as you was a talk show, we know how the state of the country, especially the economical part of the country, was. So I always used to call your talks and say, although the PLP wants to win the government, which they did, it was not a bed of roses. It's not a bed of roses, Miss Green. Things are really rough in this country, and I want a lot of my people to understand.
I feel
things
you.
Are rough.
Do it. I thank you. Thank you very much. And like I said earlier, in my critique, I want people to understand that I'm trying to find a balance where we do not diminish the energy and the commitment and the loyalty, right? Like the desire for success that members have for the party. That within the critique, we don't diminish the efforts put in, the sincere efforts, right? Put in. But at the same time, this is governance. This is running the country. There are no breaks. And while politicians could take a break, citizens don't take a break from living and following the rules and plotting their life forward. And so we critique within the context of the beginning of an administration. But I can be honest with you, you got to understand, this ain't like the BDM or the COI just jumping into governance. The PLP have a historic record. They have institutional capacity, not just in politics, but in governance. They campaigned on the idea that they can hit the ground running. And it's from that space that we critique them. But I want to go back to this question of Davis's leadership. He had 5 years. He's had 30 plus years so far. Those years include the work that we use to determine whether he could be PM, and it is within that space we also critique him. But we can get into some real critique right here. It was a beautiful display of fashion and civility. But the only thing I could think is, What could we have done with all of the money spent? Was that moment to memorialize a personal experience of upward mobility? Or was it to memorialize a collective experience of an opportunity to grow the country again? What were people thinking about while they were planning their wardrobe and preparing their wardrobe? Were they thinking about the citizens that they were preparing to govern? Now, I know it may sound petty at first, right? But let's put away people's personal wardrobe expenses. Put that on the side. How much money did it cost to host close to 1,700 people? Was that necessary? When will personal and collective discipline, self-control, come into play? Who didn't realize that we could have reduced the amount of money being spent, reduced the amount of energy being spent, or reduced the risk of contracting and spreading COVID by changing the nature of the event, using technology to create satellite centers so that family members and party supporters could witness, could watch from a particular place? And who are we feeding? I didn't even realize there's going to be food. And I can go. I come into the calls right now because I hope one of these calls is Sparky, because I could ask Sparky, was there food? Was it good? Did you bring two masks? There's a lot of questions that we have to ask ourselves about what it is we're doing. The PLP has told us it's a new day, but I got to really ask the question, how new of a day is it? How new of a day is it? Anyway, let's get to these callers. Caller, you're on the clock.
Sir, good morning to all.
Good morning.
All right, what I say is just the old day on steroids, you know, because just the critique of the speech from the tune, the emphasis on PPPs, PPPs for healthcare, PPPs for the airports.
Uh-huh.
Come on now. These things are conservatives. They're not progressive at all. You know, when you build a hospital, it takes billions of dollars, a few billions of dollars to build those hospitals in Nassau and Grand Bahama and Bombay Islands, right? These people opt in for investment, I mean for return on their investment.
Yeah. Hold on, let me just make this note here.
I hope the thing don't cut me off. Yeah, that's what they do.
No. I just wanted to say, look here, whoever out here talking about selling Ragged Island, what is wrong with y'all? I just need y'all to know, dear Honorable Brave Davis, we're not selling any islands. And if we do, we will have full public consultation before we do that, eh? It's a new day.
But they selling the healthcare industry, the healthcare sector, the healthcare consumers. They selling that, consumers.
I didn't want to be disrespectful. I was going to say I'm a gay woman. I don't have equal and equitable access to healthcare anyway. So
right. So, and it's going to be even worse.
Right.
Who's subsidizing private healthcare? Come on, what's going on with that?
Could say, as a private provider, I could refuse whoever I want service.
Right. Remember the airport now. Remember the private airport in Grand Bahama, the issues that cost. Remember the just the management of LPALI, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We build the whole, our money build this airport. Our land is on our land, right? And these people, the money they make, they can't take it to repair the airport.
Thank you.
And consumers are complaining.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your contributions. Again, another caller on the clock. Let's get to that caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. I just plan on spending 10 seconds, but after you listen, I like that gentleman, you know, even though he criticized me about the vaccines, but you know, I got a joke for you, Aaron. You know, why can't we let science be free and stop muzzling the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's hard to curtail the truth. It's like back in the, and they try to suppress the printing of the Bible, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's hateful for me. When you mix science and politics, right, you know what you get come out of the next end, right? Politics.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you see that with the indoor transmission dynamics, right? So I have read up on it. I didn't even care to discuss it. It goes as far as the microns of the particles in the distance that they travel. It's scary. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even put it on the air. So I don't know what is going on, but I know one thing. Subterfuge is the art of the day, and what we need is a revolution of the mind. You see what I'm saying? So the Baru talk about healthcare, right? You know, a human story here before I go, because I think it would be selfish of me to open my God-forbidden mouth that about as a first cousin of my daughter, my 23-year-old daughter from North Andes, right?
Uh-huh.
She had an ovarian cyst. so I'm learning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they keep putting off the surgery, but what they call elective, I call it selective, all right?
Yeah.
You know me, I have my own ideologies. And so they put her off about 3 times, committed a medical crimes, right? And then now she came over, you know, it's just like going, et cetera, hemorrhage or whatever. She came over on an emergency flight and died doing waiting on the surgery. So, you know, I don't have time to worry about pump and pageantry and colonial stains in our brains that remains. All right? You know, Aaron, I see why they don't really want me on the radio, but a lot of people already pick up. And I'm glad of some of the text is coming and everybody is being awakened now. And so we must juxtapose Revelation, Psalms. You know, it's just a biblical time. Have a nice day. Bless up.
Thank you. Keep firm. Keep sharing information. Those who it's for, it will come to them. That was you, Darwin. Morning.
Hey, yes, morning.
Morning.
I wanted to make mention of particularly that comment about the healthcare system and how I actually have a family member going through the exact same thing. Basically, we've waited more than a few months for this person to receive care for what is deemed a health-threatening situation. And every time the healthcare system says, well, sorry, we just don't have the time to do this right now.
Yeah.
We have so many other people to deal with. We can't deal with you right now.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that all those persons that were there, Aaron, as you stated, truly did protect themselves and kept their masks up, because we really don't need another surge,
not only in
COVID, but even other general diseases that could possibly be shared.
You know, absolutely. And most of all, if you were there and you can quarantine or self-isolate for a number of days, please do so. Right? So no, we're not saying you can't go to the event, but then subsequent to that, you're at a high-risk event. Isolate if you can. Quarantine if you can. And then I would say to the contact tracing team, the Ministry of Health, now's the time to go to work. I see I got a lot of callers and texts. I just want to make this note, because we may not come back to this. It's not a massive thing. I'm less focused on the fashion and more focused on what we could have realized if we imagined something different, right, with this event. And so I want to mention this thing as well, right, that this was a historic moment. We had the swearing in of two women as president of the Senate and speaker of the House. Now, we could have said we swore in the first female president and the first female speaker of the House of Assembly, but we didn't word it that way because we swore in two women as president of the Senate and speaker of the House of Assembly. And I think that is a remarkable moment and the beginning of a movement that has the potential for great success. Glenys Hannah Martin, the Honorable, made a statement about the underrepresentation of women in the House. And after watching the entire affair yesterday, I want to say this to my good cousin, Glenys Hannah Martin, and I wanted to take the charge on this. Underrepresentation of women in the House can be remedied by representation of women outside the House. Politics does not have to be an excuse for everything. And the same amount of money that was spent on presenting the most elegant, beautiful women and dresses at that event could be used to remedy the underrepresentation of women generally, including outside of the House. It's up to women. It's up to us to do it for us. It's up to us to lead the charge. Do you know how many units of feminine hygiene protection, pads and tampons and diapers for elderly men and women could have been purchased for family island communities that are struggling to find these very basic resources? Women taking care of women. Women sacrificing for women. I just want to put it out there. And so I want to say to these two women, the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate, Women are relying on you to lead the charge, to set the example, to chart the course, to ensure that we're not just focused on representation in the House, but representation outside of the House also. But boy, y'all did look, y'all look pressed and fresh. Pressed and fresh. I got to read some texts here. I got a text says, hi, Aaron, the Parliament event is a subtle message showing China's strength in the West. We move from the House of the British to the House of China. Well, once you understand, we've always been in the outhouse. Right? Once you get that part. I'm very concerned about not just this particular event, one of the most important events, but any government activity being hosted at any hotel, particularly a mega resort. Right? Particularly Bahama, that's still involved in some legal issues. I'm very concerned about that. And this, what it suggests to those who would own mega resorts in a country that relies on tourism to the point where it wasn't prepared to, but actually discriminated against its own citizens to prioritize the needs and wants of foreigners. Tech says, Ms. Green, a new day. COVID was yesterday. Boy, look here. COVID is definitely today, too. Now, the text, great show as usual. The PLP government cut the food assistance, but to Bahama Eden perception, is reality. Great show as usual. I see this week we had another murder, and it ain't even Friday as yet. I think there was 10 murders in the week since the PLP was in power, and they are totally ignoring it. But if Minnis was in power, they would raise Cain. I don't think they're ignoring it, but I feel you. Great show as usual. The now present PM, Davis, bashed and demonized Minnis administration for holding holiday super spreader events. Got another text here that says, how can the government now monitor crowds at church services to include weddings and funerals? They can do it by posting officers at events, regular mobile patrols. You got this thing called probable cause and critical thinking. You use your brains. You don't have to abuse people or breach their rights or anything. You move through the community and you watch what's happening and you intervene when necessary. That's how you do it. Another text, good morning, Aaron. Which ministry and minister is now overseeing local government for the Family Islands, and what are the functions of local government? Well, that's a real question, right? Because I think it was in national security before, right? The question is, I don't think they could do that. How will the part of the Ministry of Agriculture, so it's Ministry of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Island Affairs, how will that part of that ministry function with national security to ensure local government functions properly? Darwin, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Good. I got two callers on the line. Let's go to the calls and see what they say, eh?
Cool.
All right. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Miss Green.
Sparky. Sparky, you in isolation, right? You chilling
no
out.
Way.
You're
I home. Are home.
You're right, you're at home. In isolation, right?
Not really. Why you ask why you say isolation?
Because I see you was at one event.
Man, let me tell you something. That's what I call about.
Uh-huh.
And first of all, this is what I must say. Give me an opportunity before you cut me like you usually do. To congratulate the women of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. My observation showed me yesterday that the women outdid the men in every way. They outdressed them. They outshined them. They outdanced them. And I think they had more fun than the men in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas yesterday.
But hold on, Sparky. Mama don't want no raking and scraping in there, though.
Let me get my little talk straight.
Sparky, hold on. What was raking and scraping in about, though? I thought we were at an official government event.
Miss, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You trying to change us from being Bahamians and black? Don't try and change us. We are Bahamians. We are black. We are proud. We went to a party yesterday.
But we were
The bottom line is, we went to a party, and we went to swear in our government officials, and we are PLPs, and that's the way we did it. And you cannot change that. Leave it alone.
Man,
You can cut Sparky.
I can cut you, Sparky. First of all, that's my government. The government don't belong to the PLP. 2021, September 16th. At 5 a.m., before the curfew lift, that's the last moment that that was a PLP anything. That's my government. That's our government, which means we can't do nothing about that. Not only that, what does it look like? What does it look like for members of the PLP to be saying that in the midst of COVID, when people's lives have been irrevocably changed by COVID protocols? Anyway, I got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, Miss Green, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'm Mr. Thompson. I'm good. I watched the excitement from home.
Yes, ma'am.
I would not have wanted to be there, but I support the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand your concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw and what I, because I listened to most of the commentary from the journalists and their guests, and what they were discussing, and the first, the reporters that were inside,
mm-hmm.
and our friend, I think they were going through the protocol.
Mm-hmm.
They had to, show their that they were vaccinated.
So they had to be vaccinated, or were they seated in a different area if they were not vaccinated?
Now, I don't know what was done, but I stand to be corrected by...
Yeah.
And I think persons like yourself or other homosexual, persons have concerns and raise very, very serious and important issues that you do raise,
mm-hmm.
and concerns. They should have someone that should be able to call and, explain and say exactly what the facts are. You understand? So it could give us some sort of...
Right, or do a press. You don't have to respond right in the moment. But,
You need to have people in place on it, because sometimes when things are put out there or whatever and it's not explained or whatever,
mm-hmm.
we walk away with thinking, you understand what I'm saying, but our questions not being answered, and we're going to have questions. And like I said, from what I heard, that they were coming to do whatever they needed to do, because, you don't want the spread.
Right.
Or whatever. And everyone that I saw wore masks. Like I say, in the room, and Dubit said that they were sick, the chairs were spaced, but it was a huge crowd.
Yeah.
It was a huge crowd. I would not have felt comfortable there, because I'm just paranoid like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to take no chance.
And I thought that the crowd would have been split up over multiple rooms.
Yeah, because they had the Senate in one, proceedings in one room, mm-hmm. in one area, and then they had the House of Assembly, and then they had the guests in another. But then they came and they walked from out of each, the Senate and the Parliament, the play ones, they had to walk into the main hall where the Governor General was.
Yeah.
You understand? So it was, like I say, everybody gathered. They were in a bubble. But it's still a risk. Because even if you're vaccinated, it's still a risk.
A chance that you can catch it and you could pass it on. But listen, I got a couple more callers on the line.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say that, but thank you.
No, thank you very much. Right? And so I say this again. You could view this as somebody complaining and beating down your government, right? Or you could remind your party machinery that they should listen to the public, not seeing it as complaints, but as free consultation, and take the ideas and run with them or don't run with them. But at least you're listening to what the people think. To my callers on the line, please hold the line. We will be right back after this break. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock, the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the Solution. Sponsor On the Clock of Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
You have a new text message from Scotia.
Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their credit card statements on Scotia Online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas@scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
The Central Bank of the Bahamas invites students in grades 4 through 12 to compete in the Get Money Smart Bahamas video essay competition. Students must produce a 3 to 5 minute essay sharing their views on the following topic. The Bahamian economy is an ideal model for digital financial services. Get a parent or guardian permission to share the link to your essay with us on social media and have your entry judged for cash prizes in either the primary school division, junior high, or senior high school category. Essay submissions must be received by October 22nd, 2021. For more information, visit GetMoneySmartBahamas.com or see our post on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock, the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. To my callers, just hold the line very quickly. Sparky, I just want you to know that I ain't let you go like that, you know, but it just can't go like that. Let me show you something. You know, my dad died a long time ago, about 30 years ago, right? And at one point, it was just a little funny thing happened. I wanted to tell my cousins, Daddy, that ain't your daddy, that's our daddy now, right? Like, that's my uncle. He's a father figure to me. And that made me think, you made me think of that just now. That ain't your government no more. That's our government. That government can buy gifts for everybody. They can feed everybody. They kiss everybody goodnight. Not just the PLPs and not just the faithful PLPs and not just the PLPs that sing their praises either. That's our daddy. That's our government now. All of us. Anyway, our boy, caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I congratulate you on your very many shows. They've been beautiful, and I listen to them attentively almost about every day.
Thank you so
They're
much.
They're very good. But this morning,
yes, ma'am,
I'm going to disagree with you.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, there's a little saying that goes like this. Every work without any with work without any play makes Jack a dull boy.
Absolutely.
So I think that was a beautiful and very blessed occasion for our country, our nation, our people, our men, and our women. I congratulate the entire government, the people, and all of us. Yes, our people, our government. Have a blessed day now.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Like I said, I'm trying to find a way to bring the critique, but also respect what people have put into it, right? But, you know, when I in charge, we could do it a little different. It could be, if it could be a party, it could be the people's party. It could be all of us. I want it to be an inclusive event, and I want the government to model inclusivity and use the imagination to figure out how we can model inclusivity in new and radical ways given the constraints that face us. I got another caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You there?
Yeah. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. Hello.
I got you. You got me?
Oh, yeah. Listen.
Yeah, yeah.
You, wonderful show like the ladies say you always do.
Thank
but
you.
But this morning you're talking plenty like, fuck, I can cut you, you know.
Yeah, okay.
I could tell the producer to cut you. Listen. the new day.
Mm-hmm.
This new day soon turn into afternoon. This afternoon soon turn into evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can turn into night. Midtime is 5 days.
Yeah.
I don't care what nobody say, because all of a sudden now the austerity measures in opposition, when I get in power, all of a sudden now all that out the window.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
All this COVID thing would be trying to battle now. Everybody pile up inside the hotel.
Yep.
You understand? There ain't no difference between the FNM and the PFP area. They just have modus, their modus operandi might be slightly different, but
mm-hmm.
all of them is do the same thing. You understand? You think I can let the FNM eat, drive rag alarm, eat steak, and drink Tattinger, and I don't do it?
Mm-hmm.
What I would have done, I would have said, listen, Malia, I'm assisting, of course, me. 2 million, okay, the country in trouble. See, all of a sudden, now they ain't worrying about the country in trouble no more, you know.
Right.
The country in trouble. Let me bring fines to another venue, or most I could do is put $1 million. They ain't checking for that, Aaron.
That's what it feel like. That's what it feel like.
You know what I want to tell the Bahamian people? Good in your pants, you ain't got no lunch.
Listen, thank you.
You understand me?
Yeah.
People ain't checking.
I got to go. That's what it feel like.
That's
what it feel like. Thank you so much. Listen, I've got so many texts here. We're at that hour where we're closing out the show. That's a given. Give me a second, callers. I got to make this point. I really respect and appreciate the points of the last two callers about the momentous occasion. But let me put it to you like this. This is why it sit heavy on my heart today, right? Not because I don't like wear dressing, so I couldn't get dressed up and fancy up and go out there, you know. But guess what? Monday is National Heroes Day. And I have not seen or heard a word about what is going to happen. Who are we honoring? What new paradigm are we bringing to the collective to decide who is worthy of honor? But I think we did. I think the politicians did it. I think the politicians showed us clearly and plainly to our face yesterday that they honoring themselves, that they are the most important part of this process, right? That's what I think. And I don't think it was malicious, you know. I think that this is a manifestation of the political culture that is so so heavy and consuming that the people within it don't even realize what's happening to them. Do you think? Thank you, Darwin. But that, you know, that's why it's important. What about National Heroes Day? Who are we honoring? And we have the opportunity to show the healthcare workers and the other essential workers how valuable they are to us. But I don't hear nobody saying nothing. Anyway, Darwin, I got to read these texts, eh? I got to read these texts. I hope you're coming in to join me tomorrow. So I got a text here that says, Lady G, off topic, but something needs to be done with these weed whacker workers. So those are the people doing road works, the median works, doing landscaping in the public spaces. They're kicking up rocks and hitting people's cars. This is wrong. Who paying for my car scratch up from rocks? And I say it seems to be dangerous to be doing that type of work in traffic. Well, traffic is on the major highways. We need a different protocol for that.
Aaron, I've experienced it.
Yeah, you got hit with something, eh?
Yeah, man.
cracked windshield a couple years back. Obviously never got it fixed by Ministry of Works, although it was there, people working out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. To the callers on the line, I am so sorry. We are all out of time, and I just got to get these last couple of texts in. Good morning, Aaron. I wonder why those women parliamentarians couldn't just dress formally in a black or blue suit. Seems they were just trying to outdress the other. It wasn't a good sight for me. I feel you. They're varying opinions. Like I said, I thought they looked great, but I had to balance that with the other thoughts. Like, I couldn't escape. 52 here, can we request the data without chatter or the number of deaths of home and abroad, number of people who died because the healthcare system is being overwhelmed? Let's see that. Absolutely. 52 is asking for more data. More data. Another text, vaccination has nothing to do with whether you are a carrier of the vaccine or not. That's info from the scientists. Vaccination says you will not be a burden on the hospital should you get sick. No promises on the people you infect, though. Yeah, we ain't talking about Sparky. Aaron is brave on PM Davis' passport because when he was sworn in, he used that name. I know he liked that name, but he's not legally changed it. He ain't supposed to use it at that time. No. I gotta go. You caused me end the whole show. That's my music, but I gotta go. You telling me that the boy, what? Oban 2.0? Anyway, tomorrow is Culture Friday. We have to decide who our national heroes are. I'm gonna try to not talk politics tomorrow. So y'all stay tuned today for the rest of the day of fresh news, smart talk all day on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Levon Miller and Unleash is up next. This is Aaron Green on the clock, signing off. Have a great day.